Welcome to the Equine Connection Podcast, where health, nutrition, and love for the horse come together. This podcast is brought to you by Tribute Superior Equine Nutrition. I'm your co-host, Kim Brown, along with equine nutritionist, Dr. Nicole Rambo.
Hello, Kim. How are you today?
I'm good. I am so glad it's spring. I just am happy.
Agreed.
But I guess the thing that I want to talk about is soaking feed. And I know that covers a lot of different topics, but I've had a horse that chokes on feed. And if there's anything scarier than having a horse choke on feed, I'm not sure what it is. So anything I can do to prevent choke is a blessing. And I think that's where we're going to start on today's topic. But I know that soaking feed doesn't end there, because many of us have seen your horses and they often either have poor teeth or missing teeth that can make it hard for them to chew, forage, or feed. And that means we need to give them a little help. So soaking plays a role there. And those same senior horses can have metabolic issues, which means soaking their hay can really help reduce sugars they get. But there's a science and an art to soaking hay. And then there's beet pulp. And that's just another topic in itself. So I know, Dr. Rambo, that is a lot to cover. But can we start with tips from you on soaking feed, especially the pelleted feed and the hay pellets?
Sure. Okay. So yeah, lots to cover here. I think you really hit on the reasons why we would soak. Generally, the two categories are, I want to slow my horse's feed consumption down, so they maybe have a history of choke, or their teeth aren't great, so they can't really grind up their feed, so we're feeding them mush on purpose. I think some people also like to soak their feed just in an effort to get a little bit more water into their horses, and that's not a bad idea at all. I don't know that appreciably the amount of water you get into a horse soaking your feed makes a huge difference, but it's certainly not going to hurt. I think some of the confusion comes up in how long we soak different things. So we'll start with your pelleted or even your textured fortified feed. So this is going to be something that is designed to provide calories and those critical nutrients, think your amino acids, your trace minerals, your vitamins. So let's start with our fortified feed. So those are things that are designed sometimes to provide calories, but they're absolutely designed to provide those essential nutrients, your amino acids, your trace minerals, your vitamins. So in the Tribute line, think an Essential K, a Calm and Easy, really any product. And with these feeds, we may want to make them soft, and some are harder pellets than others. Some are already soft pellets, but for whatever reason, we're soaking a fortified feed. We want to make sure we don't soak it more than 30 minutes. So from the time that we add the water to the time that we provide it to our horse for consumption should be as short as possible. So there are some nutrients that aren't very stable in water, so particularly some of our vitamins. So if you were to add your water and go off and ride, clean stalls, do a bunch of other things, it's not that the feed goes bad per se, but you'd be breaking down some of those critical nutrients that are designed to help support your horse's health, wellness, performance. So for that reason, when I'm thinking about soaking a concentrate, I really want to minimize the amount of time from when I put the water in to when I provide it to my horse. So for these, when possible, some warm water helps it soak down pretty quickly. And thinking about the volume of water that we use. So generally, I'm going to start with one part water to one part feed on a volume basis. So basically add as much water as I add feed. Then I'm going to go ahead and adjust from there. You will find that based on the different composition of the pellets, some need more water, some might need a little bit less. And we're also targeting the consistency. So this is when we kind of talk about, like, there's a science, but also there's an art, and horses have preferences as well. You know, maybe our goal is to feed just soup and a horse won't touch that soup. So you have to find, how much water can I add to get to a reasonable consistency without then my horse not wanting to consume it at all? So the goal is to make a bit of a slurry. One mistake that I see happen sometimes with horses that choke is we just add a little water and it gets damp and fluffy. But horses can choke on that as well, because sometimes it can be a bit gummy. So we're going to want to work on what is the amount of water that makes an appropriate texture, and recognize you're going to have to play with it a little bit. It's not going to be exactly the same for every pellet or feed, because the composition, those ingredients in the feed will respond differently to water.
Yeah, and I've noticed before when I've tried to break some of the pellets, some of them are just so hard and some of them just break right up. So, yeah, so that's something to consider and kind of experiment with, like you said, the art.
Yeah, absolutely. Hay pellets, a little different. So these tend to be a bit bigger, require a little bit longer soaking time. So sometimes, you know, there are some pellets, hay type pellets, beet pulp pellets specifically designed to soak down super quick. And a lot of the other ones need more time. And certainly when we can use warm water for these, they'll soak down quicker. Oftentimes your hay pellets, you're looking at more like three parts water to one part hay pellet. We don't have to be as worried about the amount of time before we provide those pellets. But we do want to make sure that we're not soaking long enough that we're going to have any mold or bacterial growth. So if you live in a hot climate, like 12 hours of soaking probably isn't a good idea because that feed will have turned bad. I have seen some people soak in the fridge in places. So they'll add a lot of water, stick it in the fridge so it doesn't, you know, get hot and gross. But hay pellets, we don't need to be as concerned as the concentrate feed in feeding it in a super short period of time, but certainly still being mindful that we don't have our feed turn bad either.
In soaking hay, let's talk a little bit about just soaking it, how long, how much water. I mean, not the pellets, but your actual hay, because hay is one of our most important feedstuffs. And we keep hearing we're supposed to, you know, with our metabolic horses, get rid of the sugars. But I don't know how long to leave it. Talk about growing mold and getting icky.
Yeah, if you've ever soaked hay, it is not fun. You know, you have issues in the summer where we need to feed it really quickly because it does go bad really quickly. In the winter, just dealing with water and freezing temperatures and all of that. So two thoughts. One, you know, can we get tested hay ahead of time so we don't have to soak it? Can we use a bag forage that has a guaranteed low NSC? Sometimes those are better solutions, even though they might be a little bit more expensive than the actual hassle of the day-to-day management of soaking hay. But if you're in the situation where soaking hay, particularly for the metabolic course, is just the reality of what we need to do, there has been research on this, as a matter of fact. So what we're going to do when we soak hay, it's a relatively short soak, so between 15 and 60 minutes in cool water. We can actually reduce sugars up to 30 to 40% soaking within that hour. One key here is an hour is the max time, and you really don't get a lot of benefit going from 30 minutes to an hour, but you're going to want to maximize that 60 minutes, no longer. And the reason for that is after that 60 minutes, like, yes, you might lose a little bit more sugar, but you're also leaching out some of the macro minerals. So some of our trace minerals as well. So think about calcium, copper, zinc, some of those things are coming out of your hay. And in terms of macro minerals, fiber. So the reason that we feed forage is to provide fiber. The horse is designed to process fiber. They need it for a healthy, happy digestive system. It's their main source of calories. So after those 60 minutes, you're also losing fiber as well. Is this largely impactful? Sometimes no. But if we are also doing a restricted feeding of this animal, so maybe it's an obese metabolic horse and we've got it down the minimum amount of hay we can because we're trying to keep calories down and all of those things, and you start washing the fiber portion out of the hay as well, now you're setting yourself up for digestive issues.
Ooh.
Right. So no longer than 60 minutes. You know, the other thing that I tell people is, one, let's pretest. If it's less than 10% NSC, good news. We don't have to soak it. We can use things like slow feed nets, all of those to extend the quote unquote grazing time, which is going to blunt our insulin response. The other part of that is that just soaking hay reduces sugars. It does not guarantee we're going to reduce them to the extent to make them appropriate for an individual horse's metabolic condition. So yes, we might make it lower, but it's possible you go through all that work and headache and then still have health issues because we didn't get it low enough. It's hard to give you an exact number because the actual structural composition of the forage impacts how well those sugars are leached out during that time. But in a perfect world, what we would actually do is have a pre-test. So we would take our hay, take a representative sample, then we would soak some of it, dry it, because you can't send it to the forage lab all wet because there's mold in the bag. And then they'll test it after so we can see if that reduction was enough to be appropriate for your horse. Generally speaking, you know, as a very rough rule of thumb, I'd say if a hay tests greater than about 14% non-structural carbohydrates, so that's going to be your WSC plus starch, we should probably be testing pre and post soaking to make sure we're losing enough sugars to make it appropriate for your horse. If it's right on the bubble, say it's 11% instead of 10%, I'd feel pretty comfortable that you're going to lose the sugars you need to with that 30 to 60 minute soak.
Okay. That's interesting, because I always thought that just, oh, you throw it in there, the sugar goes away, and then we're good. I didn't rule, like I said, there's a science to this too that we need to know.
Yeah, other things you need to think about. You probably, especially the really sensitive horse, like we could rinse the hay off at the end, so like get all the sugary water that's left over completely off. And certainly you don't want to then let them drink the sugary water. We need to dispose of that appropriately. Because, yeah, that would kind of defeat the purpose a bit there.
That is a great tip, because I actually knew somebody who soaked their hay and then thought, well, I got all this great greenish water. I should just let the horses drink it, right? Whoops.
Yes. I mean, maybe there's a horse in a barn that'd be appropriate for, but certainly not the metabolic one. You know, another tip would also, remember, anything that's wet encourages, you know, in an environment that mold can grow. So one, that hay needs to be consumed fairly quickly. Generally, you know, we're going to want to soak twice a day, if not more often. So feed more meals in those really hot climates where, you know, mold can develop. And we need to be cleaning the container that you're soaking in, because now you have a moist environment. Mold and bacteria love sugar. That's a really great growth source for them. So I see what a lot of people do is they probably use a hay net. They dunk their whole hay net in a trash can, a Rubbermaid tote, whatever. We're going to want to make sure that we do clean that out fairly consistently so the soaking container doesn't get gross either.
Those are great tips. And I know I've got to ask this. So what about soaking beet pulp? I know it comes dehydrated in shreds and pellets, but there's the whole debate. So where do you come in?
Yeah, my recommendation is to go ahead and soak it. You know, because they're so dry, they are very hard. And the type of shreds that you're generally getting in like a shredded beet pulp bag versus the size that we put in feed, they're much larger shreds. So you have greater likelihood of choking. So go ahead and soaking those ahead of time as well. Similar to your hay pellets, you don't need to be constrained to that tight 30 minute window. But we don't want to soak it too long and have it go bad either. The beet pulp pellets, I mean, you'd be shocked by the quantity of water that they can take up. So make sure that it is fully soaking down. Sometimes you'll see this nice fluffy pile. But if you stick your hand in there, the ones in the middle are actually still hard. And that is a choke risk as well. So yeah, we would want to go ahead and soak our beet pulp. Like I said, there are preparations that are manufactured in such a way that they can soak down really fast, which can be handy depending on your management situation.
But like you said, if it's beet pulp that's a part of a pellet of other feeds, we don't really have to worry about that because it's so much smaller.
Correct. For the average horse, right? Like some horses can choke on anything. And
on
we need
air.
And we need to soak everything. But generally speaking, let's say, for example, you're feeding a senior feed that is pellets, loose beet pulp shreds. We are sourcing beet pulp shreds that are tiny, with the intention that you do not have to soak those. That doesn't mean you couldn't soak that feed if you wanted to, but it's not absolutely required.
Okay, well, that is really good to know. So this has been a great discussion. Thank you. Like I said, I've had a horse that chokes and it just scares me to death. So do you have any final words on this topic of soaking feeds for horses?
Yeah, funny enough, this has been on my mind a little bit recently. We had a research horse choke. And, you know, part of the way we have things set up is there's a very quick check after feeding time. And that's for research purposes. Like horses have a specific amount of time that they can eat. We check feed refusals so we can take that feed, weigh it, all of those things. The other part of that particular system is it ensures there are eyes on every horse after their meal. Choke is scary and it's not fun. However, a choke caught quickly is relatively easy to deal with. So a lot of times where we run into the really scary issues with aspiration pneumonia later are horses who we didn't catch the choke, and many horses choke silently. Okay, so you might not have coughing and retching and all of those things. You just have a horse standing in the back corner of its stall with saliva draining from its nose because it has a blockage in its esophagus. So my big recommendation for all horses is that we feed them their grain meal and we make sure to put eyes on every single horse very intentionally after they're done eating, so that if a horse does choke, right, we don't want it to happen. We put in all these steps, but the reality is sometimes they will choke. If we can catch it quickly, it allows us to manage it quickly and it becomes largely a non-issue. Like, is it fun to have the vet out and tube the horse and pay the emergency vet bill? No. But we get the horse tubed, put it on antibiotics if indicated right away, and largely they move on from choke pretty quickly. And then we just implement more strategies in the future to prevent it. So that is my big tip. If we are worried about that, soaking feed and all of that is great, but it does not negate the requirement to check on every horse after they finish their meal, because horses can soak on choked stuff or can choke on soaked feed as well. So these are management strategies to reduce the risk. They do not eliminate it. And just some good horsemanship goes a long way in preventing those type of long-term issues.
Ah, such great advice. Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Rambo. We really appreciate you sharing your expertise on this topic. And a big thanks to all of our listeners today from around the world. If you have any questions or suggestions, make sure and visit Tribute Equine Nutrition's Facebook page, or you can look for the link to contact us in the show notes. And don't forget, you can go back and listen to many other equine health and nutrition topics on previous episodes of the Equine Connection podcast.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Kim.